we cannot thank you enough for offering us your Spirit to move upon us in ways that we can't do by ourselves. Oh, Lord Jesus, we stand on the promise that your word says that one waters, but it's the Lord that gives the increase. God, may you give us increase to grow and to learn and to take your yoke and to do the things necessary to grow, not just as people, but we want to grow in wisdom in the sight of God and man. Bless us, Lord Jesus, with this knowledge and growth. Tonight, may your Spirit, adding your word, change us again. In your name, God of all gods. Amen. And before we start on chapter 8, I had this idea for, just on the way here, I was like, man, I got this idea for tonight's message, and I hope that it's well received. This is a Wednesday night, and it should be. But in the book of Hebrews, I want to say, I could be wrong, I just, you know, the verses are coming to me slowly. I think it's the 11th chapter, not the 11th chapter, the 6th chapter. Yes, it is. In the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you can listen as I read if you want to turn there with me, if you're a quick turner. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Please give me your attention. Tonight's message is going to be a shooting over the heads of some and hitting square in the heart of others. We're going to look tonight at the life of 20 years into the ministry of Solomon. And you're going to see the things that Solomon did 20 years in. And I'm going to ask you, Christian, you Christians that have been walking with the Lord for 20 years, does your life reflect 20-year growth? Now, you guys that have not been walking for 20 years, ask yourself this. If that's what I'm trying to attain toward, according to Scripture, leaving the elementary principles, let us go on to perfection, there is this thing called growth. Listen to me. There's such a confusion here. Because when you first come to the Lord, there's this weird worldly idea that you cross over some line, and now all of a sudden you come to the Lord and you never sleep around, you never do another drug, drink another beer. People will hang all their trips on you. Here's your trip, and here's this, and now you're Republican, and now you're this, and they hang all these trips on you, and you walk around like a Christmas tree, and all your trips are hanging around you. And then as soon as somebody in the world sees that you're not living up to the trips they laid on you, go, see, I thought you were a Christian. You guys understand what I'm saying? God does this work. And so it's incumbent upon us only to allow God to do the work. But it is also our responsibility to put the work in ourselves. The Bible talks about salvation as being a free gift from God, of course. It's not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. Amen? But there is a growth that should take place. It doesn't happen overnight. People can't lay their trip on you. But there should be a point in time. Now, there is a fine line between preaching a message like this, and some might say, dude, you're just talking legalism. Well, to some, I might be talking legalism, but to others, I might just be going, wake up, grow up, it's time. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? And I don't know where that fine line is, because the last thing I want to do is be smacking around a baby. You don't want to stick steak in a baby's mouth. Pastor Don Dukes used to always say that. But, continuing what we were just reading, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, this will do if God permits. Wow. So he gives that list of all these things that he's not going to go. I'm not going to go over this again with you. You guys already know this. It's long enough. I've taught you about repentance and faith. I've taught you about the resurrection from that. I've taught you these things. What I want you to do is grow up. You hear it? Now, also turning for your own sake to 1 Peter, and I'm going to try and find it as I talk because I don't remember where it is. It's in 2 Peter, that's why. 2 Peter chapter 1, picking up in verse 5, everybody's there if you want to be there. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Please give me your attention. Peter the apostle, in addition to what we just read in Hebrews, some say Paul wrote that, he also tells people, listen, here's the steps you take in growing up. Many a class, many a time, we used to do this class over the old Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale days, called Foundations of Faith. Does anybody remember that class? Foundations of Faith should have been based upon these principles, because these are the things that the Bible says, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to do. So ask yourself this question. Christian younger than 5 years old, is this what you're doing? Christian over 10 years old, is this what you're not doing? You follow me, guys, right? I'm not trying to lay a trip. This is the last thing I want to listen. You're new to the Lord. You're less than 3 or 4 years old in the Lord. Man, I'm just glad you're here. My encouragement, read your Bible. Come to church. Spend some time in prayer. Listen to some worship music once in a while. That's my encouragement. That's between you and the Lord. God will give you that increase. However, you that have passed that 7-8 year mark, dude, serious? Here's what he says. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know those things. If you want, you can write them down later on. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. And you write, okay, as a young Christian, here's the things that I need to learn. How do I go about learning them? And the implication here that Peter says is this. You can be a Christian and you can be unfruitful and barren. Unfruitful and barren. What does it mean to be unfruitful and barren as a Christian? Well, I've asked this question before. I'll ask it again. Unfruitful. How many of you guys, do not raise your hands, this is between you and the Lord, have never led somebody to the Lord? You've never had somebody say, you've never said to somebody, dude, are you serious? Come on, man. Let me pray with you a prayer of salvation. You could accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. If you've never done that, you have been unfruitful. It should not be so if you're more than 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. If you've never led anybody, if you've never prayed a prayer with anybody to accept Christ as your Savior, if you've never at least invited somebody to church that got saved. Because sometimes it's okay to be a little bit shy. But here's my thing. And again, when you grow up, don't invite people to church. Invite them to Jesus. And if God so puts it upon their heart to come to church here or any other church where they're teaching God's word, praise God for that. We got enough people in our church right now. That's not to say don't invite them, of course, but you guys know the point I'm trying to make. Or you can become barren. What does it mean to be barren? Barren means empty. You're wondering, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's 9 of them. If I said any of those things and you're like, oh man, that's barrenness. These things are not coming to fruition in your life. You are barren in these things. But now when I say barren, I say self-control. Listen, I lack self-control. I am an impetuous man, but I'm not like lacking self-control where like, yeah, I got into a fist fight yesterday. It was crazy. You know, I just smacked my wife the other day. It's not, no. I'm talking, you guys, when I said those things, if you are married or you're not, let's say you're just here and you got into an argument and you get into cussing, fussing, like, it's time that stuff's got to go. If, again, you're older in the Lord, these are the things that you're lacking in your life. Here are the steps you take. Follow the word. With all those thoughts in mind about growth, let's turn now to the 8th chapter of 2 Chronicles. That's the idea of today's study. It came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Hiram had given to Solomon, Solomon built them, and he settled the children of Israel there. And Solomon went to Hamath Zobah and seized it. He also built Tadmor in the wilderness and the storage cities which he built in Hamath. He built upper Beth Horon, lower Beth Horon, fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars. Also Baalath and all the storage cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities and the cities of the cavalry, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and Lebanon and in all the land of his dominion. Please give me your attention. 20 years had gone by. He had these opportunities and he did not waste them. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Listen to me, please. Growing up as a young Christian, me and my wife accepting Christ as our Savior, rededicating her life, me accepting him as my God, as my King, we met this man a couple of years into our walk named Jeff Masters. You guys, anybody remember Jeff Masters? Jeff Masters shows up at our house. He was this very gentle, very kind, very nice person. He shows up with a piece of paper, and on it he has all these blocks written. And it looked like a building wall. And each block had a different thing on it. And he said, well, this one here is insurance, health insurance. This one here is life insurance. This one here is an IRA. This one here is savings. And he goes through all these financial things. And I look at it and I was like, what's that? Like, these are the things that responsible adults do, especially adults in Christ. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I came to know the Lord. I didn't want to start worrying about money. He goes, well, let me change your mind for you. Because, and then he starts to give me some of the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon says, you gather, you scatter. You give, you receive. You reap, you sow. You put money in eight places. A good man leaves inheritance to his children's children, so forth and so on. All these things pertaining to money. I was like, oh, well, what happened was I started hearing about all these churches that said, give, give, give. If you give money, you'll get this. So I got so offended, so torn to the other side. I didn't want to hear nothing about money. I put my money in a box. I don't want no one to know about it. He said, see, that's the foolishness of going too far to the other side. The Bible very specifically talks about reaping and sowing. Very specifically talks about diligence and ruling. Very specifically talks about how you handle money and the freedom that money gives you to serve God. All through Scripture, God talks about money. Problem is, on one side of the camp, you got God has to give you. On the other side of the camp, you go, no, we don't talk about money because we don't want to talk about money. We don't want to offend anybody. But there is a middle ground, and that's usually the ground that we find ourselves at Calvary Chapel telling you guys. Here, Solomon, after 20 years walking in the glory of God, said, you know what? It's time to build. Now, if you're like me, and like me and my wife, we've gone through the ups and downs financially. We've had it all and lost it all a couple of times. And yet, every single time at the 11th hour, right when we're at the end of ourselves, God seems to pour out a new blessing. I don't know if he was testing us to see if we're faithful. I don't know if we did something wrong. I wish I can tell you, not that I know of, but I know, as you could see, I never missed a meal. God has supplied. Our kids never had to beg. You understand what I'm saying? So here's the question then, Christian. 20 years old in the Lord? Or more? Have you been there yet? Have you been faithful at a job so that you grew at that job and you were entrusted? The Bible says very specifically, nobody's going to trust you with your own things until you're first faithful with somebody else's things. Right? I mean, you might look at my home, you might look at my car, you might say, well, it's easy for you to say. Well, yeah, it's easy for me to say. Guys, I've been working the same job for over 25 years. Same job. Ain't left it. And I've built it, and I've taken money, and I've gone out there on the limb and invested, whether it's $300 or $400 or $3,000 or $4,000. I've gone out there and given it a shot. I've started, ask my wife, we've probably started 10 businesses. And guess what? 9 of them failed miserably. One of them God just took the cup and he said, okay, I'm gonna pour some blessings in that one. And we've enjoyed those blessings. And every once in a while he goes like this, is it me or is it the job? And I go, no, it's you, God. He goes, let's make sure. And he dumps it. And we go, oh, there's nothing left in the cup. I don't have a say. And what happens is, here's what happens. The spoiled, rotten Christian that I am, I look and I go, but I don't have an IRA anymore. God, we lost all our IRA. Oh my goodness, we don't have anything in our savings. I look at the wall that and then the Lord reminds me, goes, you know, I think I liked you better 20 years ago when you didn't worry about all that stuff. You're right, God. I'm sorry. I'm just spoiled. So you know what he helps me do? He helps me rebuild the wall again. And I'm going to be honest with you. He's done it 2 or 3 times in the last 25 years. Not that I enjoy it, and I'm not looking for the next one. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of hoping that's the last time he's going to do that. But as you grow in the Lord, you become more responsible. Now, again, if you're 4, 5, 6 years old in the Lord here, listen, that should be your time. 6, 7 years old in the Lord, you should find this. You should find this amazing when I say this to you guys. Show up to work 15 minutes early and leave 15 minutes late every single day. And watch your boss bless you like you never. Your boss, and you show up and you say, boss, I'm not going to clock in till 15 minutes after I get here. And I'm not going to clock out. I'm going to clock out now, but I'm not going to leave for another 15. And I'm going to keep working. And I'm not going to be texting. I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to check my Facebook page. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? Boss, I just want you to know I'm leaving my phone in the car because I don't want to be tempted. So what you're saying is I should work a couple of hours a week and not get paid? That's exactly what I'm saying. Call it God time. And say, God, those extra 15 minutes that I work at the beginning and the end of the day, they're for you. Not, hey, gotta go. I've been here all day. Afraid that you won't make the extra, you won't. I'm telling you, just from a perspective of a boss and a worker at the same time. You want to build those building blocks? You want to start them? Guy told us a long time ago, you know what every woman wants above everything else? Security. You know what every man wants above everything else? To be the hero. My wife, she said, honey, we have to have a life insurance policy. I said, life insurance policy? Yeah, it's called the 357. What are you talking about? Smith and Wesson, that's my insurance, guys. You guys understand that, or is that just not funny? Okay. We said, what if you die? You know, you handle those venomous things, baby. I ain't gonna die. Man, I ain't but 30 years old. Man, I got 10 years before I die. Don't worry about it. That's a conversation we just had. My line? And then one day, yeah, maybe I'll get an insurance policy just in case I die. And then I got an IRA, a retirement fund. It's like, man, well, if I put like $100 a month in it for like 15 years, but I can be using that money. I can buy a TV in that money or something like that. You guys have any idea what I'm talking about? Is somebody here amen to me or? Solomon, after 20 years, found himself investing, reinvesting, and growing, and being wise. And after 20 years, he was really doing this thing. And I'm going to ask you, you guys that are young Christians, look at the things that Solomon did, and hopefully you aim toward that. What would it look like? I'm going to ask you a question. What if you found out, here I am, I got saved in 1994, late 93, 94. I got baptized in 94, okay? So how many years? 23 years? I'm walking with the Lord 23 years. What if one day you looked over my shoulder and you saw I was looking at a phone and you saw I was looking at some nasty video? Let's not even say it's porn. It's just something nasty. You'd be like, man, I mean, it's not disqualifying, but I expected more from him. Wouldn't you? What if you pulled up alongside of my car at a light and you didn't know it was me and there I am driving a car and you're hearing Metallica? Pray to the Father and God. They're like, wow, you still listen to that stuff? Well, just, you know, once in a while. You'd be like disappointed in me. So I'm not saying to you guys now, I'm not saying to you guys now, hey, listen, this is what you got to do. If you don't do this, you know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but if you're expecting that from me, why not expect it from yourself as well? Now, some things are a work of the Spirit, but some things God's given you victory over and you're just not claiming them in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying there? And I've used this as an example. Some people I know struggle with cigarettes, and they're good people. They have a heart after God. But because it's not popular right now to smoke cigarettes, we see them smoking cigarettes. Oh my goodness, if they're still struggling with cigarettes. Listen, some things are a work of the Lord. And if somebody struggles in an area, man, be careful. Because the vast majority of the people I know that smoke cigarettes that are still walking with the Lord, that's all it is. And God knows what's in your heart. Just be careful before you're looking down at somebody. That's not like some, for the most people I know. Now, sometimes it is an indicator of a weakness and it goes all the way down. But the vast majority of the people that I know that still struggle with that stuff, you're seeing it. And it's nice that they wear their sin on their sleeve and our hearts are so filthy and we can judge them. But some of us, the Lord's given you dominion over that and you're just being stubborn in it. It's like, hey, it's time to put that stupid stuff down. Are you with me? Let's continue. Verse 7. All the people who were left of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, who were not of Israel, that is their descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel did not destroy, from these Solomon raised forced labor, as it is to this day. But Solomon did not make the children of Israel servants for his work. Some were men of war, captains of his officers, captains of his chariots and his cavalry, and others were chiefs of the officials of King Solomon, 250 who ruled over the people. Please, let me tell you what this is, and the representation of this is very interesting. Listen, if you've never owned your own business, how many of you guys own your own business here? Okay, listen to me. You will hear Christian time and time again say, the hardest thing in the world, or should I say the hardest thing in the church, is to be a Christian business person. You'll hear him say it over and over again because you have to deal with the principalities, municipalities, as well as the principalities, the government, you have to deal with employees and taxes. I mean, it's stink. Let me tell you a funny story. And it goes so well because I was talking to Debbie today on text. Remember we were talking? I did something about 15 years ago. I started putting cash away. I would take my check, I'd cash it, and I'd take cash and I'd put it in a box. I did these shows, these reptile shows, and I'd take money. And I saved a nice little nest egg. Well, I told my accountant, listen, I have such and such amount of money, I want to put it in the bank. She said, don't do that. I said, how come? She says, they're going to tax you. I said, I already paid taxes on it. She goes, do you have the receipts for it all? And I was like, I've been doing this for 15 years. She says, they're going to charge you hard on that, Ryan. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is my money. I saved it. No, it ain't. It's like, well, what do I do with it? She goes, do some construction work and pay them in cash. Have some repairs on your house. Do something and pay them in cash. I was like, well, that stinks. She goes, that's life in a big city, buddy. Next time, save your receipts. I just blew a bubble. Sorry. Just looks so silly. So here's what happens. After 20 years, the guy starts his own business, right? But here's what he does, something insane. He has employees and family members that work for him. Now, it's an old worldly saying, never work with family. Anybody ever hear that saying? Listen, you're a Christian. Work with family. Oh, no, every time I've ever worked with family, they've robbed me. So what? What an amazing chance to be a bold witness. Now, my mom's not here, so I can tell this story. Listen, the death of my brother's anniversary, how do you say it? Death, the anniversary of his death was just yesterday. Quite uncoincidentally, my first cousin, my mother's sister's son, he died also exactly a year ago. Everybody remember my brother Moody Booty? His name was Mike. His last name was Budin. And he always had a scowl on his face, so we all called him Booty, Moody Booty, we called him. He died just a year ago of cancer. Now, he worked for me for a number of years at my store. Now, he was a miserable human being. He's been a miserable human being since we were growing up. That's why he called him Moody Booty. After working for me for a few years, though, I had to fire him. It's like, dude, I can't, this is retail. I can't have you around. You're killing my business, basically. So here's what I did. I said, listen, I'm going to give you a month's severance pay, but I got to let you go. I want you to find. Now, here's what you can do. You can either work at the store for the next 2 months, in which I'm going to pay you for the 2 months, or you can take off now, and I'll give you a month out. It's up to you. Walks out, F you, you always been, you know how the family is, right? Well, I paid him for the month. He came in, got his check. That's, I don't know how many years ago it is. It's got to be 6-7 years ago. Well, a year and a half ago, turns around and he's got cancer. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't have cancer. He lost his job. So his mom is at my house one day with my mom, and I said, I can use somebody upstairs. And his mother looks at me and goes, you would hire him again? Yeah, this ain't retail. It's not going to be. Man, he really needs a friend right now. He's feeling so down. Like, what do I care? You know, I call him up, hey, you want a job? Yeah, he comes and gets a job. He's worked for me for 2 weeks, and he's, I feel terrible. I don't know, my stomach hurts. He goes to the doctor, he has cancer. It's like stage 4. So what do you do? I gotta, hey, look, that sucks for you. No, so after 2 weeks, now I gotta pay the guy not to come to work. So a couple of months go by, and the Lord and Marty went up to see a couple of guys. Who else went to see him? Did anybody else go see him? A couple of people went up to see him. And I have hope that he received the message, because, I mean, he's truly a different person. I mean, letting us pray for him, letting us pray over him, truly a different person. Can I sit there and say, yes, and he accepted Christ as his Savior? I was there. No, I can't say that, but I know God's grace is sufficient. I lost a lot of money with this dude. But God gave me an opportunity to be a witness for him. And God made that, gave me that money back 10 times over. You understand me, guys? Yeah, it's hard to be a Christian business person, especially when you hire family. But you be careful, and if you waste some money, you waste some money on your family. Hire people, fire people, it's a ministry. And let me tell you, just from one business people to another, you guys that own businesses, I've got 4 or 5 employees right now. I got one Marcos. You guys know Marcos and Bianca, Mary's son. Let me tell you something. Worst employee I ever had. When I mean the worst, I mean when I tell you the only reason I didn't fire this kid 50 times is because I knew his mother would blow up my phone, and to hear her start complaining at me, oh my good. Believe me, you don't want Mary to start on you. Do you know what happened about 2 years ago? The light went on in this kid's head. He's not one of my best employees. You can leave this kid alone. He'll be the first guy. He's, Ryan, don't worry. I got it. Am I right? The worst employee I ever had. On his phone, like making believe he's cleaning a cage like this. And you walk up behind him like, you're either taking a crap in your pants or you're on your phone, one of the two. Oh, sorry, sorry, man, sorry, man, sorry, man, sorry, man. I'd be like, you're married. No, can't do it. Can't. When I tell you the one of the best I've ever had, he don't want nobody to help him. I got it, Ryan. Go to church. It's 7:30. Go. Late working, no problem. I know you'll take care of me. No, I got a lot more stories of people that, you know, took advantage of the situation, but guys, when you grow up in the Lord and you walk 20 years in, this is the stuff you deal with. And you count it a loss and you don't put up any kind of, oh, I don't do business with, I don't family this, I don't. That's not what your calling is. Your calling is first to minister to your family. And if that means letting them screw you over again and again and again, You know, cut your losses as best you can, but to cut ties, I don't. Let them cut ties. The Bible says very specifically, you must get along with all people as much as it depends on you. You can't stop. Somebody hates your guts because you're a Christian. Somebody don't want nothing to do with you because, listen, I'm sorry. I have to let you go. I hate you. You stink. Okay, I love you anyway. Verse 11. Now Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh up from the city of David to the house he built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the place to which the ark of the Lord has come are holy. Verse 11 is very simple. Guys, when you grow up in the Lord, when you're 10 years, 11, 12, 20 years, you get rid of the unholy things. You don't still have, first of all, if you're in business or you're starting a business, don't go in business with a non-believer. It's asking for gigantic trouble. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer, for what does light have to do with darkness? Now, if you've come to the Lord and you're already partnered, you do your best to, like Solomon did here, get him away from the holy things. Tough, tough to learn. Because here's what happens. As soon as you hear this, as soon as you read this, it's going to happen is some non-believers are going to come up to you with the greatest idea in the world and all the money and tell you, bro, you got to come with me in this thing. And you're like, no, I just read this verse. Why couldn't you ask me a week ago before I read that verse? I know it well. Believe me, I've been there. Verse 12, then Solomon offered burnt offerings of the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built for the vestibule according to the daily rate, offering according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, the three appointed yearly feasts, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. And according to the order of David his father, he appointed the divisions of the priests for their service, Levites for their duties to praise and serve before the priests, and duty for each day required, and the gatekeepers by the divisions at the gate, for so David the man of God had commanded. They did not depart from the command of the king to the priests and Levites concerning any matter concerning the treasury. Let me explain to you what he's doing here and how we apply it. He says, I'm 20 years old in this thing. I'm 20 years old. I know what needs to get done, and I'm not going to forget the former things. Don't forget the former things, it says. Watch. Guys, I'm in the Lord now 23 plus years. Guess where I am every Wednesday and every Sunday? I'm in church. You know why? Because you never outgrow it. And guess what I do? I serve God. That's what I do. Now, some of you guys say, oh, that's easy for you. You're the pastor. It means nothing. Believe me, there ain't a week that goes by where I'm waking up and go, man, I want somebody else to teach. I'm kind of tired. No, it's not going to happen. This is what I do. This is who I am. I don't forget the things that got me here. And I'm telling you this, younger people in the Lord, this is the first thing that pulls you back. Oh, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Oh, it doesn't matter if I miss Wednesdays. Oh, it doesn't matter. Don't be legalistic with me. Listen to me. After 20 some odd years, I'm telling you, ask anybody here more than 10 or 15 years old in the Lord, and they'll tell you the same thing. They know person after person after person that at one point you're like, man, that family is going to do something crazy for the Lord. That dude's going to be preaching. That woman's going to be serving. And then they get to be 20 years old in the Lord, and they know it all. Oh, I've heard him teach that verse before. Yeah, I've been there. I've heard that. And you know what happens? Bye. Wife, the kid, the car, the dog, the cat, they're done. They live like Christians. Oh, they're nice people. The Bible has a name for them now. You know what it's called? Lukewarm. That's what it's called. Lukewarm. It's exactly what it's called. They know it all. Here, Solomon said, I never forgot about the feasts. The most important feast, and he goes by name, the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Weeks. I kept the solemn, they're called solemn feasts. Not Solomon, solemn, the important ones. I kept them. You follow what I'm talking about here, guys? Again, I reiterate, you young people in the Lord, listen, the fact that you're here, you got a Bible in your hand, praise God for that. I'm not trying to hang a trip on you, but I want you to look at those that are walking 10, 15, 20 years old in the Lord. That's what you're going to aim for, to be so serious about the things of the Lord that you people out of here on a Wednesday night, we're building the church on you. Let me tell you something, and I don't want to steal you guys' reward. You know what we're doing with you guys? We're building the church on you. You're foundation stones now. You're involved in a ministry of fellowship. You guys oversee it. That's what we're doing. We're building the church on you. If you guys leave, that ministry's gone. What happens? Well, somebody else will do it. Well, nobody else did it before. That's serving God and becoming a church and saying the responsibility of the church, it's on me. Listen, if Marty and Brian and Drew and Allie, if they just, Ryan doesn't show up to the, he never shows up. We had a lady leave a couple years ago, 2 years ago. I didn't show up to the convalescent home. My son was wrestling. She left the church. You don't even show up there. What do you need me to show up for? You're doing it. Well, we planned this all year. You planned it for me? She left the church. And she was at the church for like 6 years. You want an apology for me? Because you thought I should be somewhere? My son is wrestling a tournament. I'm sorry. I don't get to see every one of them. A little hot in my head, sorry. That's right. Let us build on you. Become, take the responsibility of church in your hands, man. Don't say, our old church had this. You know what you say? My church, I'm going to do this. I have an idea. Why don't we start a ministry for the moms and dads in the church that have kids that need tutoring? What an idea. The second I heard it, I don't even got to pray about this one. Love it. Helping little kids. Yeah, let me see. Let me pray and see if God says yes to that. Yes, he says yes. Build our lives together. Wow, what a crazy idea. Verse 16, now all the work of Solomon was well ordered from the day the foundation of the house of the Lord until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was completed. Wow, when did this work start? The day the foundation was set. The day you got saved, this is the day that God had all the works before you prepared. The day you got saved, he said, I've got works for you to walk in. You need to now take this yoke, take this mantle, put your hand on the plow, walk through this, and let's do it together. The day. And you know when the work's finished? When you die. That's when. Right about the time you got it all down, Pat. Okay, God, I'm finished. Good, let's go. And Solomon went to Ezion-Geber, Elath, and the seacoast, and the land of Edom, and Hiram sent him ships by the hand of his servants, and servants who knew the sea. They went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and acquired 450 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. Very interesting. Now, the way I used it for the application is, after you got all these things down, you know what you're going to have? Lots of gold in your house. And if God chooses to take it, at the end of your days, man, you know what you do? Leave nothing for the kids. Give them here. You could have a car when I die. Other than that, don't leave him a big old trust fund. It'll only mess him up. But here's the thing now, the actual thing. It says there was 450 talents of gold. Does anybody know how many tons of gold that is? You think to yourself, but there's not that much gold in the world. Except this, when you find out, according to writings, historical writings, at one point in time in Jerusalem, silver was more valuable than gold. Solomon collected so much gold that it was like heaven, nothing. It was like the streets, dirt. That silver at one point in time for almost 100 years during the reign of Solomon, during and after, obviously, silver was more valuable than gold. But you know what funny thing that God did? Do you know nobody has any idea where Ophir is? See, it says that he went all through the scripture here, the town of Ophir went and got gold. The town of Ophir got gold. Nobody knows where Ophir is. Nobody has any clue. Where is Ophir? Nobody knows. You know why? Because everybody would be there looking for gold for sure, right? I just found that interesting. That's a little extra. That's free. You don't have to pay for that one. Okay, I'm finished. Close your Bible. So, Hebrews chapter 6, 2 Peter chapter 1, that's your application from the Old Testament. We took an Old Testament principle. We looked at the story of Solomon. We applied it now to the New Testament. We saw the correlating verses. Now we take it, and we jam it in our heart, and we try to live it, right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement and the direction of your word. And we ask you, please, to walk with us through these things as we go. God, that you would help us to grow and learn. Father God, I remember being in my 20s and being so sick and tired of struggling. Father, I remember how you, even back then, when I didn't even proclaim your name, how you supplied me according to your riches and glory, how you fed me. God, you've been so faithful over all these years. God, I want to thank you for all that I have. I lack no good thing, as your word says. God, and I pray that my brothers and sisters here that do struggle with finances, God, they would know the same thing. Lord Jesus, would you please bless us? Would you please watch over us? Would you please help us, God, to have that growth that someday, I do pray that there's people in here today, God, I pray someday they'd know the wonder of a savings account and not to have to live week to week and check by check. God, I pray that they would know a retirement fund, that they would know what it's like to just take a vacation and not have to worry about the money. God, I pray that they would be, you'd make faithful workers, faithful servants. They'd be, they would know the power of working for you in everything that they do, and that you would keep track and bless them for it. As you've taught me and you've taught so many in here, God, we thank you so much for blessing us. May we share that love, that same type of supplying. Bless those that need it with this information. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.